There's coming a day when there'll be no sin to stain us, no Satan to seduce us, no sinners to sink us, and no sadness to slay us. It will be a wonderful, wickedless, worryless, warless, woeless world. But just before that time, a trinity of evil will persecute and put to death God's children and try to put an end to God's control. But in chapters 15 and 16 of Revelation, we see condemnation on those Christ rejectors. Condemnation that's complete. It comes fast and furious. It covers a perilous period of 3.5 years. Chapters 15 and 16 go together. In chapter 6, we saw the seven seals. In chapter 8, the seven trumpets. Now we see the seven plagues. From this, we see that the order of events is one of crescendo, the seventh seal being all-inclusive of the end-time events, including the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet including the seven plagues. Chapter 19 follows immediately after chapter 16. This 19th chapter speaks of the coming of Christ. Now, for chapters 15 and 16, look at the sign. Revelation 15:1 says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." It's so wonderful that John calls it great and marvelous. Matthew 24:30 says, "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven." Could this be Christ? If it doesn't refer to Jesus, then it refers to judgment. What judgment? The seven last plagues. Revelation is a book of last things, and with the seven last plagues, judgment upon the earth comes to an end. Why? The cup of God's wrath is full. God is patient, but his wrath is being poured into a cup. One day it will be full, and the Christ rejectors will be made to drink it, all of it. Zephaniah writes about it in chapter 3, verse 8. "Wait upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." Look at the sea. Verse 2. "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." We saw this sea of glass in the fourth chapter. It's the same one. But here it's mingled with fire. The sea is a type of the Word of God. How it cleanses. Psalm 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." But here the fire is added. What's the significance? The martyred saints have gone through the fiery trial. And in 1 Peter 1:7, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. These martyrs have come safely through the sea of martyrdom. They've arrived at the crystal shore of heaven. They've been through the fiery trials. They've experienced the most cruel, the most savage deaths. Yet they've gotten the victory, the Bible says. It was the fact that they died that made them victors. Had they remained alive by being false to the faith, they would have been defeated. Death was a greater victory than survival. The real victory isn't to live in safety, to miss pain and persecution, and to preserve life. It's to face the worst that the devil can do to you, and if need be, to be faithful unto death. Listen to the song, verses 3 and 4. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Redeemed people are a rejoicing people. Only the saved have a song. Here we listen to two songs. First, the song of Moses. God led his children out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and he destroyed their enemies. Then the people sang with Moses the great song of victory. It's found in Exodus 15, 1 and 2. In the tribulation period, the people of God are kept safely through the sea of persecution and martyr death. While Pharaoh, that is the Antichrist, is destroyed behind them. They've arrived safely to the shore of eternity, so they're singing the song of redemption after the seven plagues, even as Moses and the people sang it after the 10 plagues. That's the song of physical redemption. Second, the song of the Lamb. Have you noticed that there isn't a word in it about their own works, only of the Lamb's works? Not about their greatness, only God's greatness. Heaven's a place where we'll forget about ourselves, our labor, our love, and think only about our Lord's labor and our Lord's love. The song of redemption. Just listen to that song. Great and marvelous are thy works. Great in grace, marvelous in might. Oh, the grace that saves and sustains, the might that converts and keeps, that delivers from the tempter and temptation, that provides and protects, that guards and guides. Yes, we'll sing only about Him, the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Won't it be wonderful to be occupied completely with the One who did so much for us? I love Him with all my heart. You do too, don't you? Let's show it by living a life that's pure, by leading the lost to the Lord, and by winning the backslider back to the Lord, and by singing His praises so that we will make our loved ones anxious to be saved.